Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Maggie. How are you doing, Mark?
Doing great. How about you?
Good. We have to be quick this week because I've got to go begin packing my bags for Phoenix.
All right. We got a course coming up March 5th through 7th in Phoenix with the Arizona Academy of Family Physicians, and then another course in Athens, Georgia, basically the same content, April 16th through 18th. So go to the essentialevidence.com website to learn more about it. You can also go to the azafp.org website to learn about their course. We're excited. We're going to be covering the top poems of the past couple of years. Got some great speakers. And I'm sure great weather that time of year in Phoenix.
Absolutely. It's cold here in Sacramento, Northern California, so I'm getting my bathing suit out and looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
One of the good things about Phoenix is that there's a lot of sunlight, meaning that perhaps there's less vitamin D deficiency, the topic of this week's poem. Vitamins are those little substances that cannot be synthesized by humans, but need to be ingested in the diet in small quantities in order to prevent bad syndromes, mostly disorders of metabolism. Of course, they're divided into water-soluble and fat-soluble vitamins. Vitamin D deficiency, commonly referred to as rickets, is of important historical value, although we don't see it very much in this country anymore. It was in the early 1900s when Sir Edward Milambi described the deficiency of a fat-soluble nutrient as the cause for rickets, which ultimately led to the discovery of a chemical structure, vitamin D, or calciferol, which is a lipid-soluble compound with four-ringed cholesterol backbone, something you probably haven't thought about since medical school. Vitamin D and its metabolites have a significant clinical role because of their interrelationship with calcium homeostasis and bone metabolism. In addition to production in the skin, intestinal absorption is the other major source of vitamin D. Our clinical question this week is, can supplementation with vitamin D prevent falls in older people? I think probably what it means is can it prevent fractures in older people? Is that right, Mark?
Well, actually, they were looking specifically at falls, and that's because vitamin D not only strengthens bone, but it also seems to affect muscle strength, and in patients who are at risk for vitamin D deficiency has been shown to increase strength and function and even balance. So there's some interesting stuff going on there that, frankly, I don't completely understand the mechanism of. This meta-analysis, go ahead.
I was just going to say maybe there are little vitamin D receptors in the cerebellum or something.
Maybe that. I don't know if it gets that far.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, these guys did a meta-analysis. They found 8 randomized trials with about 2,400 older individuals. Most of the studies also gave calcium to these patients, and all of them got various doses of vitamin D. And compared with placebo, they found the studies by searching all the usual databases. They consulted experts. They did a good search. They also looked for publication bias, which would happen if there were small negative studies that never got published, but they didn't find that. They excluded any studies that weren't randomized, that were too short to really see the outcomes in question. They used intramuscular vitamin D, which we don't use a lot, or that didn't really assess falls over the entire study period. They did see some heterogeneity, so those 8 studies had differing results that were statistically different, but they resolved it by separating the high-dose and low-dose studies. Once they separated them within each of those groups, there was homogeneity. High dose was 700 to 1,000 international units a day of vitamin D, and that decreased the fall risk by about 19% over the 2 to 3 year study period. And so there was an additional, one additional fall prevented for every 11 patients given high-dose vitamin D over the course of a year. Lower doses didn't reduce falls. And they also found that the active form, 1,25-dihydroxycholecalciferol, which is the metabolite that's actually active, was no more effective than just giving plain old vitamin D.
Interesting. So that's a number needed to treat of 11. That's pretty reasonable. We do lots of things that have much higher number needed to treat, and it's low cost, right?
Yeah, it's low cost. There had been some studies looking at very high doses given once a month, like 100,000 units given once a month or once every 3 months, and those have been positive. So that's another option that a lot of folks don't know about, these sort of gigantic pills, but at least you only have to take it once in a while. But a daily dose, if you're going to give the vitamin D, you want to make sure patients are getting at least 800 international units a day. Lower doses aren't effective, and just the plain old vitamin D seems to be quite effective, and also probably has a fracture benefit for the older, more at-risk patients.
There's no toxic side of this, right? You can't give too much vitamin D.
They didn't see any harms in the range that they were talking about of the 800 to 1,000 international units. And, you know, vitamin D is kind of a hot topic now. We're finding a lot of deficiency in middle-aged and older adults, men and women. And so I think we're still sorting out what to do with that, but this modest intervention of 800 international units a day does seem to be beneficial in terms of preventing falls in older adults.
Excellent. Good advice, something that we can take to our patients. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you soon.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.